We are very happy to introduce to you our dear brother Edgar Buckley from Jackson, Michigan. He's no stranger to us. We have received blessings in the past at his hand, and he has chosen as his subject this morning a very interesting one and a very uplifting one. The High and Lofty One. The High and Lofty One. Brother Edgar.
Thank you, Dan. Bring your Christian love and greetings to the dear ones from Jackson. Very happy to be with you. I hearken back at a time when you used to listen to the radio, and there was I don't remember whether it was a talk show or whether it was the news or whatever it was, but anyway, it was a Chicago station. And he'd come on, and the very first thing he would say is, "It's a beautiful day in Chicago." I don't know how many of you remember that, but he said that if you had a foot of snow on the ground and the wind was blowing 40 miles an hour and the wind chill was 50 below, it didn't make any difference. And so I greet you. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. I'm very happy to be with you. And I would like to let you know, if you don't already know, that beloved Ray Lumley is retired now. He retired at the end of the year. And I remember Ray, and the first time I served here in Chicago, it was back to 1959, I think, on December of 59. And I recall him when he was tall and slim, and he asked me, "What is my subject?" And he put it out on the marquee there at the Central Y. That was a couple of days ago. And Ray now finds himself. Whereas before, he knew what he had to do. Now he's got all his time, he has to make a decision. And all of us who have become old enough have been faced with the same thing. Our beloved God and Father, the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, is someone that it's going to take an eternity to know. But we'd like to call a little contrast today, and we've chosen the subject, which I think you all recognize, Isaiah 57:15. Well, let's turn to that verse. And here is a contrast beyond that which really we can comprehend. Isaiah 57th chapter and the 15th verse. It's something that no human being can comprehend. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. And then the contrast with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. A contrast. What I want to try to do is show just how much of a contrast this is. Many have tried in the past and many will try in the future. And to some extent will succeed. And I hopefully maybe might be able to succeed a little bit. But we're talking about the Creator of the universe, and the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity. Talk about eternity, we talk about infinity. And we're talking about something we can't talk about because we can't comprehend, we can't understand. It is too enormous, it's too much beyond our ability to fathom. But what I'd like to do is take just a moment and consider we as human beings use measurements to help us to define space and time, to define buildings, to define many things. So we have these measurements, and these measurements for the purpose of helping us to understand what is around us, what it means, and how we're related to it. And so we come up with inches and feet and miles. And by that, we try to have some idea of what we're talking about, of what we are as related to our surroundings. And so we consider our God in those terms, or we try to do that. And we stop, and we say that we find that light travels at a rate of 186,000 miles in 1 second. 1 second's time it's traveled that far. Now that in and of itself is something that kind of boggles the mind. But that's just 1 second. And then we say the sun is 93 million miles away. It takes 8 minutes for that beam of light to leave the sun and reach the earth. Well, that's not too hard to understand. In 8 minutes' time, the beam of light has reached the earth. But it's traveled 93 million miles. Well, then we go out into space and we find the nearest star. And it is said that at the rate of 186,000 miles a second, it takes 4.3 years to reach the earth. Well, that's beyond us already. But then we narrow it down by saying a light year. How far the light travels in one of our years. Well, then if we have a notion and we say, well, now we're going to figure out just how many miles that is. And then we get up in the trillions. We get up in the billions. And we begin to stagger because when we're talking about a billion, we understand that if someone started counting the time of Christ's birth, we'd still be counting yet today. 1 billion. But we're talking billions today, and this doesn't really mean that much. But then we go on, and we go into the trillions, and the each one as you go up, quadrillion, quintillion, septillion. And if I had a blackboard here and write those numbers out, every time we step up one, there are three more zeros. And it gets to a point where we get as many as 36 zeros. And this is something that boggles the mind, but in our measurement, these figures don't even apply. It's beyond anything that we can imagine. But man has come up with a number that goes far beyond even the sextillion or septillion or any of those. And that is called a Google. I don't know how many ever heard of a Google. The only Google I ever heard of was Barney Google. And he was in the newspaper, and that's the only one I ever heard of. But you look in the dictionary, and you look up this word, and this word is G-O-O-G-L-E. And it says that this is a number with a 1 followed by 100 zeros. Think of that. 100 zeros. Forget it. Is there anything that would apply to? Again, stop and think. We're told that the universe is expanding. And that the furthest object away, our man knows, 14 million light years. All right. Where's the pencil? Put that down. Figure that out. What do you think you're going to come up with? Anything with 100 zeros behind it. We're talking something that is... Google? Yeah. Enormous? That's not the word. We don't have a word. We have nothing to explain God's universe. Because here again, what we're saying is that which we have seen, the furthest we know away, that these things are going at almost or at the speed of light away from us. Yeah. In other words, what we say is an expanding universe. And I can't help but within my mind think, now is it limitless or is there a boundary or what? Well, who knows? I don't know how many of you knew Brother Lester Hendricks. He died in December. He was a beloved brother, a precious brother that we were able to pick up and take places and so on. We enjoyed so very, very, very much. And he always have a question. And his question was, who created God? Well, we would point out the scriptures that are so plain and old simple that 90th Psalms, where it speaks of the fact that from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. The scripture here, 57:15, we quoted to him, the high and lofty, to one who inhabits eternity. As far as we know, nobody created God. He just is. Well, what can we say? We have a finite mind. We can only go so far in that mind, understand, and therefore, beyond the fact that he was a great first cause, we cannot go. We don't want to go. We can't even go that far. We have no way of knowing anything beyond what God tells us. The high and lofty one, a creation beyond what we can understand. It's all out there for us to see. But we are so little and so small that we're just less than a speck. Unbelievable. This is God. This is He who runs a universe that we can't even understand. Now the contrast. He who dwells in eternity is also, he dwells with someone else. That's what we read, the last part of the scripture. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So the question, how can God dwell with us, and especially if we're contrite and if we're humble? How can someone who runs a universe beyond anything that our ability to understand can dwell with us? We spoke about the outer universe. Now we'd like to speak about the inner universe. We have microscopes for the purpose of seeing things that our eyes cannot see. We invented telescopes, marvelous inventions to see as far as we can in the reach of the universe. But we've also invented microscopes to see that which is so small We cannot see with our own eyes. We're told about atoms and neutrons and protons and the fact that you have an atom, which is a neutron and a proton, going around one another. And unbelievably, we are told that in our thumb are as many atoms as there are people living today. Now, what that's saying is there are, last count, approximately, and this was last August, 5,500,000,000 people in the world. Our thumb contains 5,500,000,000 atoms. Think about that. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We try our best to understand, but we can't. But as we try to fathom these things, we consider what at least I'm calling the inner universe, which is our mind, our brain. God created it after His likeness, and He gave us the ability to think, to reason, to gain wisdom, to understand, to fathom. Have we ever stopped to think about that? This, our great God of the universe, who created us, what He gave us, our brain, the inner universe, that which is within us, to have the ability to think, to be able to reason, to be able to understand, and then to give us His Word that we might be able to understand it. It is unbelievable. You turn with me to Psalms 139, which I spoke about, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, beloved Heavenly Father, created us. And gave us so very, very, very much. 139, we like to begin the reading of the 14th verse. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from Thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. By the Lord's grace, we're able to understand to some extent at least of what He's given us. But not completely, not even to begin to understand. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You ever heard a description of the body and the parts thereof? what's contained therein would amaze you. Unbelievable. We are wonderfully made two eyes to see with and all before us to see, two ears to hear with and a mouth to speak with, a brain to understand. When my four children were growing up, I was so busy working, I didn't really see them grow up. But now that I'm retired and I have two grandchildren, I've been able to see them as they grow up. My little grandson's 4 years old right now. My little granddaughter was born the 22nd of June last year. She's 7 months old today. And I can observe her. And now she's reaching that point where she's just curious, and she can see and she can feel and she can hear these noises or whatever, and it all attracts her. As she gets older, she'll be getting to a point where she will begin to talk, begin to crawl, begin slowly, ever so slowly, to grow. Yet not really that slowly. One day you'll wake up and she'll be a young woman. But the thing of it is, the human grows, matures, and thinks, and what's around them, they begin to learn. They begin to put two and two together and understand it's four. They begin to see the things which go on in the world, and thereby their environment, their conditions they're in, all a part of their learning process or lack thereof. It is God who brought us forth, who gave us these things. And if we could just appreciate what we have, the high and lofty one who establishes eternity, who, in bringing us forth and giving us so much, legs to walk with, arms to do with, to go and to be and to do. He said he dwells with us. This means that we have to know him. This means that we have to understand ourselves. Well, what do we understand? Well, I don't know. In some cases, I don't know that I'll ever understand myself. But what God has given us is the ability, at least to some point, to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. He has given us the ability, at least to some point anyway, with most, to be able to tell whether their actions are right, whether they're wrong, whether or not the consequences are good or bad, and so on. This is something many do not realize is that which man needs and must have. But this is where we rejoice in the fact that the time will come when all will learn to do good, to do right, is the only way. And wrong brings a punishment, the retribution. This is what man must learn. But this is what, by the grace of Heavenly Father, we have began to learn. Many people are so busy in the world, they don't have time to think about, am I good or am I bad? Do I right or do I wrong? And what difference does it make? But it's simply a matter to get ahead in the world, and that's as far as it goes. God dwells with those with a contrite and a humble spirit. What is that saying? It's saying that someone has to come to the conclusion that they are unrighteous, undone. They are not living as God would have them live. But there again comes the need and the necessity of recognizing the high and lofty one. Do you believe in God? Yes. What do you believe in God? Well, this is the answer that you will get. To understand God is to understand ourselves, to understand that we are falling short of His truth and His righteousness, of His character. Until we do that, we have nothing. And so it is. God's saying He dwells with those that are contrite and humble spirit. What He's saying is someone who is crushed. Someone who has come to the point and the recognition that they are not righteous. To understand that they need help. To understand that there is a God and that they need Him. Again, we're talking to the God of the universe. We're talking to He who we think has no time for us. And yet, if He hadn't had, He would not have brought us forth in the first place. It's all the need and the necessity to have a contrite heart. If God would dwell with us, which is to say that no matter what, we fall short of the glory of God. Adam did. We as his posterity have. And we can't help ourselves. Now I like to think of Psalms 51:5, which puts it so very clearly. We always quote it, misquote it. We're born in sin and shaven in iniquity. Well, that's not exactly the way the psalmist put it. He said, we were born in sin, and in iniquity did our father conceive us. I probably better quote the scripture by reading it. Psalms 51 and 5. Behold, I was shaven in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. As soon as we are conceived, we began to die. And the sooner we understand this, the better off we are. And there comes a time when all the world will have to do it. And this, in other words, is saying that if God is to dwell with us, we come to a point in the realization that God is our Creator and that we owe our life, we owe all that we have to Him. And to realize that He is mindful of us. I like the scripture in Luke, the 12th chapter, the 6th and 7th verses, the words of our Master. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Now that's something to stop and think about. Not one of these sparrows. And sparrows can number into the millions and billions, if you will. Not one of them is forgotten before God. But He said, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. That's something to think about. To the God of the universe, we are more to him than any sparrows. Well, we go back to Psalms 139. In looking at those scriptures that we read, we conclude indeed that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But then if you recall, Brother Russell, it goes further than that. It's to say, as man indeed is fearfully and wonderfully made. And he points to the fact that here is a picture of the development of the church. Go by through these same scriptures, and you hearken therein, and you can see how that it is a picture of the church being brought forth. Now we're talking about they who have been able to realize how far they have fallen, and the need for redemption, and the understanding that God's only begotten Son gave His life for them. And therefore, being able to understand through the Scriptures that they may make a consecration unto God and that they may follow in Christ's footsteps. And hence 144,000 would be brought forth. And as you look at these Scriptures and you consider them, you consider how that the church and the description of the preparation of the church for glory. It's all right there. And so we go beyond in our contrast to that which God dwelling with they of a contrite and a humble spirit, that beyond that, there is the next step in following after Christ Jesus. But going further with God and His dwelling with us, and what He knows about us, and how He helps us, let's go back in Psalms 139, the first verse. Now here we are. God dwells with us because we recognize ourselves that we are undone, that we can do nothing of ourselves, and that we must needs be teachable. Humble. The Lord can teach us. So, 139:1. The psalmist is talking. But let's put ourselves into what is being said. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. And some said, as though we have a glass head, or you can see right through us. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Which is simply to say that we can't do anything in secret. We can't think of anything in secret but what is known. Even though we don't know what someone else is thinking. And if we're alone, nobody else knows what we're doing. But someone knows. Yet, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. To imagine that God knows what we're thinking, He knows what we're doing, He knows everything about us, and there are myriads of angels that compass about, and we have a guardian angel. It's not easy to remember. It is then we have to look by the eye of faith. Understand things which I cannot see. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? We're not going anywhere. We can go halfway around the world. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. He is aware. And I think that's a beautiful, 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 beautiful thought. We hearken to this which has happened in Kobe or Kobe, whichever way we would have pronounced it. See, the thousands of people who have nothing wake up one day, if you're lucky, and you survive it, your house is gone, everything you have is gone, whatever you got on your back, that's what you've got. Nothing more, nothing less. And the manna we had, I believe it was the Thursday before last, Brother Russell points to the fact that if it had come to a point, if it ever come to the time that Levoy lost everything that we had, nothing, nothing whatsoever, we would still be rich toward God. May the time never come when we lose everything we have. But at the same time, if it be so, we are rich toward God. We stop and we think about it. That's all we've got. When we made our consecration to the Heavenly Father, we gave up everything we had. And therefore, what He did was make us stewards thereof. And whether we have these things or whether we do not have them, we are still God's servants. We're God's children. We are following the Master. These are things we don't want to lose track of. Because the High and Lofty One is dwelling with us. And He's dealing with us. And to be able to understand just a little more of Him with whom we have to do. The High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity. Infinity. Who is immortal? Who always was and always will be? And who dwells so far beyond anything that we can even imagine that yet He dwells within our hearts, within our minds. And He is ours and we are His. And He gave His Son for us. And we, by His grace, are able to again, to follow after, to know the Lord Jesus, if by any means we may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Contrast? Again, we hearken back to the Google and those hundred zeros and that which really even goes beyond that. Far beyond what we could even think about. And yet at the same time, God dwelling with us as we sit here, as we rejoice in Him. He is ours and we are His. We have His Son and we follow after, and we rejoice and only ask that by His grace we may draw closer, we may understand more, we may follow after the better. Only be done in Christ Jesus. Only understand in Christ Jesus. It's all given to us. It's all ours. In the Beloved. As we observe the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, and yet who dwells with they with a contrite and a humble spirit. And we do rejoice and give thanks. We have this, and it's more than we can imagine. And yet, it is ours.
Now we thank you, Brother Edgar, for giving us a glimpse, and that's really all we can do, is get a glimpse of the glory and the majesty of our Heavenly Father. I'm reminded of the scripture in Psalms where it says, David says, "Oh, what is man that thou art mindful of us? We are a speck of dust, less than a speck of dust. If the earth is a speck of dust in the universe, what is man on the earth and then in relationship to God?" Thank you, Brother Edgar, for bringing us and reminding us of the fact of our High and Lofty One, who yet numbers the very hairs on our head and is mindful of us. We'll ask Brother Edgar to close our meeting with prayer, and then please be seated for a few announcements.
Our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. We bow before thee, rejoicing that thou hast revealed somewhat of thy magnitude and greatness, thy glory. We thank thee we have a glimpse thereof. We thank thee thou hast dwelled with us. We thank thee that thou hast given thy Son for us. We thank thee we have the privilege of following after our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast given us the knowledge of these things. We pray that thou would be with us throughout the day. What we say, what we do, how we act might redound to thy glory. And anything that we fall short, we ask that thou would forgive us for it. For we give our thanks, and we do pray for each heart bowed before thee, rejoicing, giving thanks for one another, and certainly the more for Christ, to whom we speak and give thanks, for that we know thou hearest us as we speak in the Beloved. Again, in his name, we thank you, our beloved Heavenly Father. Amen.